Hi, sweet beans. Welcome back to Wild Geese. I'm your host, Anna. And I actually realized that a bean goose is a thing. I looked up bean goose because I was wondering if maybe someone had done an illustration of a cross between a goose and a bean. And I just realized that a bean goose is a type of goose. So just know that when I call you a sweet bean, that's what I'm picturing in my head. Anyway, today we're going to do a little bit of a research with me episode. I've had a few comments asking for something like this. Lillian5967 said, "Could we please, please get a research with me video because I need to see your process for compiling all of this from essays to Tumblr posts, please." So, yes, we're going to do that. But I also don't want to keep this just at the researching phase because while I love research as a leisure activity, I also know that many of you are craving the creation piece of it as well. So, how do we take ourselves from the research rabbit hole into the actual creation process? I actually got an email from a listener named Raquel that said, "Painting is my favorite thing to do, and still, it's always the most difficult thing to do for me. It's too intimidating to even practice. But I've noticed it's not just painting, it's about being creative in general. My soul begs me for any kind of creative outlet, whether that's going to a library to get inspired, scrapbooking, digital gardening, journaling, or even reading. But the moment I feel the urge to do anything creative, there's something that just won't let me. Probably the thought that I should be focusing my time and energy on painting instead of any other thing that would also make me happy. And then I find myself spending my days scrolling or distracting my brain so I don't have to face that moment where I disappoint myself every time I actively refuse to honor my creativity." So I guess my question is, how does one start to honor oneself? How can one take the leap from a chronic need of distraction to actually daring to follow their creativity? So, I'm going to do my best to tackle these questions in today's episode because I'm also still just getting a lot of questions about how I find my sources, how I'm putting all of this together. And my answer from the last digital gardening episode has changed a little bit because of a tool that I'm using. Before, I basically just said, the truth is, I just spend so much time doing this. Like, I spend a ridiculous amount of time doing this, and that is still true. I am still spending a lot of time reading for these episodes, putting references together for these episodes, etc. But I found a platform and a system that has taken a lot of the headache out of the process and made it even more fun for me because I'm not at the whim of the algorithm in the same way. And we'll get into that in a second. But the platform that I've moved to store all of these sources, find new sources, and then go into the mind mapping, outlining part of the process is called Sublime. And I've posted a couple of Instagram stories of those mind maps that I've been making for the episodes, like at the beginning of the process, at the end of the process, whatever. And every time that I post those pictures, I've gotten DMs from people being like, "Hey, what is this? What are you using?" So I know it's something y'all would be interested in and have a lot of fun playing around with. So I started chatting with Sari, the founder of Sublime, and Sublime is actually the sponsor of this video. You can sign up for Sublime at the link in the episode description or in the pinned comment. Use code WILDGEESE to get 20% off at checkout. Now, if you watched the last digital gardening episode that I put out, at that point I was using a combination of Obsidian and Arena. I still love both platforms, but shortly after making that video, I switched over to using a combination of Capacities and Sublime. I'll talk more about Capacities in the future, but think of it as sort of a love child between Notion and Obsidian. But the reason why I switched from Arena to Sublime is because the search features on Sublime are insane, and the Canvas feature on Sublime has been such a godsend when it comes from bringing me to that research phase into the creation phase. Before, what I felt like was happening was that I was dumping a bunch of resources into Arena and then trying to bring them over into Obsidian, and just the heft of the mental load of actually making it into an outline for a 30-minute episode was a lot. And this way of doing things just makes it feel more playful for me from the very beginning. Because this is a research with me episode, this is going to be a pretty visual episode. If you're listening to this on audio, I'm going to do my best to explain things verbally as well, but the visual element will definitely help you understand what I'm talking about more. So just like if you're listening to the audio only version while you're like out and about doing your groceries or whatever, and you're getting confused, just know that you can always come back to the video for greater clarity. Okay, so let's start at the very beginning of the process. I think it's helpful when you're sitting down to do your digital gardening or research as a leisure activity to set an intention. I always like to make sure that I am putting aside time to let my curiosities go literally wherever they want with no end goal in mind. And here's why. I got a question from a listener that said, "I'm watching your video on falling down the rabbit hole of your own curiosity, and you mentioned throughout the video that to fall down the rabbit hole, you dig deeper into things that you're curious about one at a time. I would love to fall down the rabbit hole, but I tend to switch from one thing to the next and get curious about everything that it gets frustrating and overwhelming at times. Is there anything I can do to stop myself from constantly going from one thing to the next so that I can really enjoy the process of following my own curiosities? And first of all, I want to say, if you're in this position, that's by design. I think we're all aware of how platforms are vying for our attention. There is an entire attention economy that is built around distracting you. And of course, it keeps you from going down your own organic curiosity rabbit holes when you're scrolling from one video to the next, and one video is something that you're really interested in. Maybe you even save it to a folder on TikTok or something, and you're like, I'll come back around to that, only to never come back around to that. And then the next video you scroll to is something that's catastrophizing about the state of the world. And it's like, of course, you're having a hard time picking one thing and falling down that rabbit hole. This is why I kind of think of my process as three different states of attention. One state of attention is very passive. I am just entertaining myself, turning everything off, scrolling on TikTok, whatever, not trying to actually compile anything. But if I do in that time come across something that is interesting to me in some way, I will save it. But I won't just save it as some random folder on TikTok or a bookmark on Substack, whatever it is. Because then what happens is that if I'm in this passive scroll state and I see something interesting on one platform and I save it, and then I see something on another platform and save it, then I might get to a state where all of these things that I have been passively interested in over the last couple of months are scattered across five different platforms. And what actually happens is that I have no idea where I heard that thing that was vaguely interesting to me a couple of weeks ago. So I never go back and find it again. So what I've started to do instead while I'm in this passive state is save things as cards in Sublime. At this state of attention, I'm using Sublime in a very similar way that I was using Arena before, where I'm just using it as a source dump while I'm passively scrolling in other places. But then there's another level of attention, and this is where we get into digital gardening. I like to give myself time to digital garden with no ulterior motives, I guess you could call them, no big project in mind. This gives you the opportunity and the allowance to get distracted. I don't think it's inherently a bad thing to be distracted by something. If you have one idea or one question, and the answer leads you down a different rabbit hole than you were at the beginning, that's good. So what this listener said, I tend to switch from one thing to the next and get curious about everything, that it gets frustrating and overwhelming at times. I think the thing that gets frustrating and overwhelming to me about that is less about, oh, I'm too curious about too many things. When I think, oh my gosh, I'm so curious about so many things, that's actually a very invigorating, life-giving feeling. The thing that makes it overwhelming and frustrating is the inability to focus and get to the next state of attention, which is the state of attention that I move to when I'm really working on a specific project. I need to, at some point, move from the general digital gardening of, like, I'm reading a random essay and taking notes on it and pulling quotes from it. I need to move from that state to actually forming an episode at some point. And this is where Sublime really stops being just a source dump for me. Now, like I was saying before, it's incredibly valuable to have all of your sources in one place. You can see where your attention is going. How Sublime works is that you have cards, which is any individual piece of media that you are adding into Sublime is called a card. When you add that card, so say it's a quote from a Substack essay. When I add that quote from a Substack essay into Sublime, I make two choices. One is what collection I'm going to put it in. And the other is whether I'm going to make it private or public. So in one collection, you can have a bunch of different cards that have some sort of through line. I'm sure there are many different ways to organize collections. I personally do it thematically. So for example, some of the collections that I have are agency, like the last episode, sensuality, the episode before that, resistance, poetry, again, the episode before that, desire, love and romance, grief. These are just general concepts that I have been thinking about. But I also have a couple different collections that serve different purposes. So I have a listener questions collection so that I can have that all in one place. I have one called Affirmed, which I'm using as sort of like a self-trust bank. I highly recommend doing this for yourself. Having a place where you store all of the proof to yourself that you can trust yourself is a really nice thing to have. So I usually use that collection as a place to put a lot of like very sweet comments and DMs. And I just know I can always come back to it if I'm at a low place and doubting myself. So all that to say, the collections don't have to be thematic. You can use them in other ways. And also you can decide whether you want this to be public or private. So for things like my self-trust bank and listener questions, I'm going to keep those private because those are things for me to come back to. I'm not inviting other people to see them. But something very cool happens when you keep a card public. And it's not that people can come and like it and leave comments and whatever. This is not a social media platform. But it's still a communal experience where we can all exchange ideas together. Because every time I add a card, I can see related cards that are being pulled across the platform. This has been incredibly helpful for me in the making of these episodes because before, what I was having to do was scroll on Substack for literally hours and just go through so many notes that had nothing to do with anything. And like, I don't know, if I was relying on the algorithm of whether it's Substack or TikTok or whatever to lead me down a rabbit hole, I would obviously be getting sidetracked so many times because people are talking about shit that's not on my mind. I just want to clarify that you can see related cards for private and public cards, but when you make a card public, it will not be shown as a related card for other people on the platform because it's private. There's also this underlying feeling when you're getting all of your recommendations from the algorithm, whether it's book talk or whatever. I've heard a lot of people say, like, I don't feel like I'm really finding sources for myself. I'm like relying on curators to tell me what to read. How do I find sources for myself? And we've definitely left the point of the internet where you can like go to Google and actually get the answers that you're hoping for, unless it's like a hyper specific like name or date or resource like that. You're not going to be able to go into Google and get answers to like more existential questions or like vibe-based questions. Instead, what you're gonna have to do is comb through like 900 pages of ads and SEO optimized bullshit. Whereas on Sublime, when it gives you related cards, it keeps you on track. So here's an example. I pulled a quote from Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert into Sublime. Amazing book, by the way. Definitely go check it out. It's been a couple of years since I've read it, but I've always remembered this point from it. She says, "I believe that our planet is inhabited not only by animals and plants and bacteria and viruses, but also by ideas. Ideas are a disembodied energetic life form. They are completely separate from us, but capable of interacting with us, albeit strangely. Ideas have no material body, but they do have consciousness, as they most certainly have will. Ideas are driven by a single impulse, to be made manifest. And the only way an idea can be made manifest in our world is through collaboration with a human partner. It is only through a human's effort that an idea can be escorted out of the ether and into the realm of the actual." Quick side note, in Big Magic, Elizabeth Gilbert tells this whole story about how she had this entire idea for a novel and she sat on it for like years and years, but never acted on it for whatever reason. After a while of sitting on that idea, not acting on it, and kind of moving on to a different idea, another writer she knew got the same idea. Which just kind of is a perfect example of what she's talking about how ideas can move from one person to another, and they're not necessarily like an innate part of us. They are outside of us, traveling around. And this related cards feature is a really cool way for ideas to sort of travel around because we've got that quote. And then from there, Sublime has pulled, as you can see, just a ton of related quotes. You've got Rick Rubin saying there's a time for certain ideas to arrive and they find a way to express themselves through us. You've got this quote from Ideas Are Alive and You Are Dead. Crazy title. It says, "Ideas are alien life forms with an agency and intelligence independent of any mind or substrate which they inhabit." Okay, so you started with one quote that was interesting to you, and now you have a ton of other sources that are in some way related to that quote. That is crazy. So if I was genuinely enamored and curious about this idea of ideas being these separate things from us that travel from one person to another, then I could go to any of those sources and dig into them and see where that curiosity leads me. This is just such a straight shot way for your curiosity to be leading the ship instead of someone else's algorithm doing it. And there's an essay on Substack called How to Research Niche Ideas in Literature and Philosophy. And it says, "Some of the most insightful articles I've read were ones I found 3 clicks away from where I started. To research is to follow a scent. Sometimes you know what you're looking for, sometimes you don't. Sometimes it starts with a single word you can't shake, a quote you read in passing, or a flicker of an idea that has no shape yet, just feeling." And I use this related cards feature for quotes from other people, Tumblr text posts, YouTube videos, whatever it is. But I also use it by bringing in my own writing. So if I'm writing notes on a book, for example, Slaughterhouse-Five, which I recently read, and I write down one idea that I feel a little bit stuck on and I want to follow that scent, I can copy that, put it into Sublime, and see what related cards come up. For example, in chapter 4 of Slaughterhouse-Five, this person that Kurt Vonnegut is referring to as a hobo dies after being kept on a rail car for days. The entire time he was on the rail car, he was saying, "This is not that bad, this is not that bad." And his final words were, "You think this is bad? This ain't bad." Now, this passage in this writing in this book was so striking to me that I wrote an entire paragraph of my own thoughts. I said, "We delude ourselves and deny our pain. Even in the face of war, even in the face of death, people will not admit they're being abused. They will not look it in the face. There is a certain type of strength in that, sure, but there is also a certain type of cowardliness, an inability to call out an injustice because it might make you look weak. Okay, so if I want to expand on this idea, I can, from my own notes, highlight this and go over to the browser extension. You can also do this if you're taking notes on your phone. Sublime does have an app. But if I'm on my desktop and I go to my browser extension and I add this to the grief collection, and then I come over to Sublime and I click into the card, the very first related card is from Brené Brown. It says, "People will do almost anything not to feel pain, including causing pain and abusing power." There's another quote that says, "We are mental athletes at shrugging things off, but there is a cost to our stoicism. From small humiliations and slights, large blocks of resentment eventually form that render us unable to love or trust." So if I decided I wanted to, I could keep following the scent of curiosity through other cards that other people have put on this platform. So like something that last quote said was, there's a cost to our stoicism. When I wrote my little notes about what happened in Slaughterhouse-5, the concept of stoicism was not on my mind at all. And if I kept following this string of curiosity, who knows where it would eventually lead? And a subscriber named Brie, I believe it's Brie with a 1 as the I, please correct me if I'm wrong, but she made a video kind of in response to my last digital gardening episode. It's titled, "Your Digital Gardening Should Be Communal, Anna Howard, Artistic Isolation, and Wilding the Web." And I wrote down some of what she said because she made some great points. She said, "What are big gardens? Not one person can tend a big garden. We need a community garden. Do you think just one person is tending to that garden? No. You can have your own plot, but that needs to be part of something larger. A lot of these things come down to survival and energy. Community work is hard. It is tough to balance being a community worker and an artist. The reality of an artist is that it's someone who needs to be by themselves to have time and space to exist and create within a vacuum. A community worker is the antithesis of that. If you're going to be a digital gardener, I implore you to get on your little gloves, get your hat on, get your little boots on, and find someone to do it with." Which I've actually been very seriously considering doing like a digital gardening club over on Substack, which would be like a book club, but we would only be focusing on one essay at a time, and we would come together and digital garden together, talk about our notes. If you're interested in doing something like that, please let me know, because I agree with this point about community gardens. I think in my last episode, I made a point about how a digital garden is not this thing to like put on display. It's the garden that's in your backyard that you're experimenting with. It probably looks kind of ugly, whatever. And my point there was more about how the work that you're doing while you're in the digital gardening realm of all of this is not meant to be performative. That's why this is separate from social media. But I think that how Sublime helps us connect ideas together without getting so caught up in the social media, optimizing your presence, performing aspect of it all really kind of hits at this problem of digital gardening being an isolating practice. I actually have to admit that I had all of my collections private when I first started for like a couple of weeks. But then I realized how much I was getting from other people's cards that other people were keeping public. And I was like, why am I trying to keep my like thought process so like locked up behind closed doors? You know, why am I like resistant to sharing this with people? And I've since made a lot more of my collections public. So if you wanted to go to Sublime and see all the little cards that I put there and all of the subjects that I'm thinking about right now, you can. But I've been really, really enjoying the aspect of like cross-pollination that Sublime introduces to digital gardening. All right, so that's the rabbit hole of it all. Let's move on to the stage of the process where we're ready to work on an individual project. This individual project can be something that someone told you you need to do. You have a deadline for something. You have a speech that you have to prepare, whatever it is. Or it can be something that you're doing on your own accord. If it's something that you're doing on your own accord, I really just encourage you to pay attention to those rabbit holes that you're finding and zero in on one of them as a starting point. The Slaughterhouse 5 thing that I was just talking about, I could turn that into an entire episode if I wanted to by starting in the way that I just showed you and then bringing it into what we call a canvas in Sublime in order to really build out the mind map of it all. There's an essay called Following the White Hot Fire Inside of You where they interview the painter Brian Rutenberg, and I've talked about this essay a little bit before, but he says, "For me, creativity isn't born when everything is tidy and separate. It comes from cross-pollination, unexpected combinations, and head-on collisions between things that don't necessarily go together." This is where the canvas really shines, because you'll start with a point of curiosity and then allow your brain to branch out and work in whatever way it wants to from there. There's an article called The Science of Mind Mapping, A Visual Way to Make Sense of the World by Anne-Laure LeCompte. And she says, while classic notes are linear, mind mapping forces you to connect old and new concepts together. The flexible layout is akin to brain connections, creating links between thoughts to build a bigger picture and making information easier to retrieve in various contexts. And she cites multiple scientific studies that claim that mind mapping helps with things like better memory and recall, better creativity, and better connections between concepts. So that's why I think that it's important to move from just writing a bunch of notes and storing a bunch of sources into building out more of a mind map for yourself in the Canvas feature, because it just helps you launch one step closer into creation mode. So I'm going to start a new Canvas as an example, and then I'm going to show you some of my old Canvases from past episodes as well. I'm going to try to do my best to do this with one hand while I'm holding this microphone. Okay, so if I go over to this plus icon, I can make a new canvas and name my canvas. I'm going to base this off of the Slaughterhouse-5 quote that I was just talking about. So I'm just going to name this canvas denial, because that seems to generally be what that quote was about. All right, so we're starting with a completely blank slate. If you go over here to this little search icon, you can see all of your different cards. You can decide that you want to look through one specific collection, or it gives you the option to say, like, just give me cards from articles or books. Just show me images. Only show me links. Only show me videos. So, like, if you have a general idea of what you're looking for, there are so many different ways to find it. Also, another cool thing is that if you only have a vague memory of a card that you added a month ago, you can come up here to the search feature and you can put questions, terms, phrases, any little hint that might lead you to the card. So for example, say this was for the last episode that I did all about how to build agency, but I can't remember where I put that one card that's about something about like the responsibility of freedom. I don't remember where I read it. I don't know where I would have put it. I can come in here and just type in the responsibility of freedom. And would you look at that? The very first quote that comes up is the quote that I was thinking about. The last sentence says, a book about how to handle being sentenced to freedom and to handle it effectively and authentically and responsibly. While you're in the Canvas feature, you can do a search like that that's only within your own library of cards, or you can come over here to the drop-down menu and decide that you want to see what all of Sublime has to say about that. So say I wanted to make another episode about the language of love. I could come here and look at all of these options for different sources that I could pull from. Say I want to start this canvas with my own quote pulled from my writing. So I can take this card and slide it right on into the canvas. This is the central idea that we're working with. It might not actually stay at the center of whatever I'm making, but it is the seed that everything else sprouts from. Usually the starting point becomes the center of my mind map, and I like to also have something visual at the center of my mind map. So I can come over here to the search feature and search up Slaughterhouse-5 and ask it to only give me images. And here we go. We've got a picture of Kurt Vonnegut, and I can move that into the center as well. From there, I start branching out and building on this idea. So I can just click this little arrow and point it out over here and say that I wanted to expand on stoicism, like that related quote was talking about. I don't necessarily have any idea what my opinions on stoicism are and what I'll end up thinking about it, but that's a branch of this conversation. Maybe another branch is Kurt Vonnegut's point of view, and another branch could be pain and war. I also like to highlight these little branches just for funsies. I try not to get too in my head about like making this an aesthetic process. I know that for some people, aesthetics is much more important, but I really appreciate how this is laid out in a way that kind of automatically looks sort of aesthetic to me without even trying. Like, I don't have to spend hours and hours trying to make this look cute. A design usually ends up looking pretty satisfying to me. But if you're watching this on video, you can see that one of the images that came up when I searched Slaughterhouse-5 is Kurt Vonnegut's notes on creative writing. So already Sublime is helping me out with finding sources that have to do with this mind map. So I'm just going to drag those notes on creative writing into the Kurt Vonnegut's POV branch. Keep in mind that some of this might end up being quote unquote irrelevant to the final product. If I decided to take this in the direction of the Stoicism branch, then Kurt Vonnegut's notes on creative writing may or may not have any relevance to that final product. But right now, I'm just allowing my brain to have a full experience of exploration, and it will become clear as I build out this mind map and I can visually see where my interests are going, what the project wants to be. But say I wanted to go further down the Stoicism route. If I come in here to the search feature and say, I only want you to show me cards that are within my own library. So I only want to see things that I have added to the library, because I want to see if my curiosities have already led down this road. And if they have, I can go ahead and just bring those sources in. So if I type in Stoicism, The first thing that comes up is a Tumblr text post that says, "I must not take it personal. Taking it personal is the mind killer. Taking it personal is the little death that brings total oblivion. I will face taking it personal, blah, blah, blah." Okay. So I could say that that tangentially does have to do with Stoicism. And that's what's really cool about the search feature on Sublime is that it will give you tangential references. It's not so literal. I feel like we're so used to search features that are incredibly literal, and it's not like that at all. So I could pull that into the mind map. Same goes for pain and war. I feel like I've probably put more about pain and war in here than Stoicism. We'll just start with pain. All right. Immediately, we've got a Substack essay that I would revisit. It's been a while since I've read that essay. I don't know if it's actually relevant to this project or not. If I was actually doing this in real time, I would revisit and actually read the article before adding it to the mind map. But for the sake of brevity. And then we've also got an Andrea Gibson poem called "I Sing the Body Electric, Especially When My Power Is Out." I know that's relevant. So I'm going to pull that in to the pain and war branch of this mind map. You can also, if you have a specific thought about any of these sources, come in here and grab a sticky note and write out exactly what you're thinking. There's also a drawing feature, which I haven't really used because I'm not super into my handwriting. But I imagine this would be fun if you liked a little doodle here and there or wanted to draw a visual reference for yourself. That article that I was referencing before, The Science of Mind Mapping, A Visual Way to Make Sense of the World, has a couple of pointers on how to make an effective mind map. She says, start in the center of a blank page. Use an image or picture for your central idea. Use colors throughout, which Sublime helps you do through things like the highlight, the drawing feature, images, etc. Number four, connect your main branches to the central image and connect your second and third level branches to the first and second levels, which I'll give a visual example of that in a second when I show you some of the canvases that I've made for past episodes. She says, number five, make your branches curved rather than straight lines. And apparently this is just because straight lines are boring to your brain. I feel like I haven't done that a lot, but Sublime does give you the option to do that. Number six, she says, use one keyword per line. And number seven, use images throughout. I have canvases for past episodes, so those were like very defined projects that I knew where they were going. But I also have canvases that are for more general things that I'm not sure what they will become yet, but they're just kind of ideas that I am propagating right now, I guess you could say. So I've got like creative liberation, art versus capitalism, why make art when the world is on fire. Okay, so now I'm going to take you on a little bit of a behind the scenes tour of one of the canvases that I built out for a past episode. Let's just go into my canvas that I made for episode 31, because something sort of interesting happened with episode 31. So as you can see here, I started with like a central image vibe. I knew for this episode that I wanted to talk about sensuality originally. So I started branching off from this idea of sensuality. The branches that I have are sensualism, presence, slowing down, beauty, and the senses. So obviously you can already see how I'm not really getting stuck in technicalities here. You could say that sensualism and the senses could have been one big branch, but it made sense to me in my mind to make those two separate things while I was making this, because for sensualism, I wanted to plop in all of these sources that I had that were defining sensualism. And then for the senses branch, I wanted to have all these sources that were talking more at length about the senses themselves. But as you can see here, I've got links, I've got quotes, I've got YouTube videos, images, TikTok videos, etc. And look at my little curved line. I guess I'm not boring my brain after all. But something interesting happened in this episode because my presence branch, which I thought was only going to be one small part of the conversation, ended up having a second branch grow off of it. And it ended up being a much more central part of the conversation than I thought it would be. If you watch that episode, I talked a lot about the link between poetry and sensualism. And that originally truly was only going to be one point of the conversation. But after Andrea Gibson passed away, it became much larger. And you can see that visually represented here. I just think it's good to show this because I think when we go into like planning out creative pursuits, a lot of the times we have such an idea of what the end goal will be that we don't let it morph in front of us. I really love mind mapping because it allows you to go in whatever direction you want and then have a visual reminder of where you went. If I kept this all in my head and then tried to lay out a linear outline of the episode, it probably would have been incredibly stressful. I think having a visual of your own curiosity helps you no matter what you're making, You don't have to be making video essays or writing essays in order for this to be helpful. I could see using this to help with things like storyboarding for screenplays, gathering inspiration and creative direction for brands. Doing the digital gardening, rabbit holing, research as a leisure activity is not always a one-to-one. Like if you're a painter, you're probably not going to plan out your painting in the same way that I'm going to plan out my essay. But if you're a painter, your process still hinges on an attunement to your own curiosity and an openness to those like serendipity moments when something clicks into place. So that is my research process. I hope it helps you with those feelings of like, I'm a very curious person, but I'm feeling like I'm getting distracted all the time, or that feeling of like, I'm not sure how to honor myself and actually start creating. The way to honor yourself and actually start creating is to step outside of algorithms for a second and really pay attention to your own curiosity. And this is how I've been doing it lately. I hope this helps, and I hope you do some mind mapping, rabbit holing, digital gardening this week because it has genuinely added so much fun and clarity to my life, I actually can't really express. You can sign up for Sublime at the link in the episode description. I swear, y'all, it is so fun and I use it literally every day. If you've ever thought to yourself, I wonder how she's making these videos, this is exactly how I do it. So that is that for this week. And I love y'all. I'll talk to you in 2 weeks.